Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you a Yeovil Town fan? Do you want to help shape the future of Yeovil Town Football Club? The Glovers Trust exists to give Yeovil Town fans a democratic voice in the running of the club. Our aim is to strengthen links between the club and the local community it serves, and to engage with as many Yeovil supporters as possible. So, join the Trust today, and together we can build a stronger Yeovil Town Football Club. To find out more and to become a member, visit glovers-trust.co.uk and follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making for his back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to the Glovers Cast. I'm Ian, and this evening to talk all about Dover, I've got Dave Coates.
Good evening.
Ben Barrett.
Guten Abend.
And Elliot Watts is here, finally warmed up from an afternoon on the Thatcher's Terrace, watching what must have been a thrilling game of football against the basement side. How was it?
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Pretty poor. lot of 2 out of 7s. Yesterday.
As high as 2.
There was a lot of 2 out of 7s. It was a cold day at Hughes Park.
The weather got a 2 out of 7, did it?
The weather was 1 out of 7. I honestly came home after the match and had a shower, and I was getting colder as I was stood there. Like, I just wasn't thawing out. It was so cold.
To be fair, Elliot, mate, you're supposed to get in the shower. It's the only way it's going to work. You stand outside, it's not going to work. You're going to get in the thing to warm up, mate. That's the key.
It's not allowed back on the Thatcher's end anymore.
No, it's, absolutely not.
It's one of those where when you sit in the car after the game as well, that it just cannot get warm quick enough. And even by the time you get home, it's like still cold, blowing air. Yeah. That's when I go home anyway. But yeah, I just want to clarify that I wasn't there, so I won't be held to account for another dismal afternoon at Hewish Park.
Did have a touch of the Perkins about it, didn't it?
Didn't it?
Yeah. Had that vibe about it, a Perkins type vibe.
Especially when you look at the highlights.
Yeah, the highlights. Well, apart from a spectacular first goal, as BT Sport described the Dover goal. Go on, Watson. You were stood behind the goal, weren't you, watching that one? Was it a spectacular goal? Was it wind assisted, or was it just a bit of a blooper from the man who we really bigged up on Friday morning?
So it was one of those that afterwards you have the argument, shot across, and they'll say he shot, he never shot. It should have been a routine save, I would say. Just came across in front of Smith, and I really backed Smith for catching those, palming them away, and he's just palmed it into his own net, really. There's nothing more to say than that. And that was, what, 1 minute 30 into the match, and it just set the scene for what was to come for the afternoon. But yeah, he's never shooting there. He was just putting a simple cross in. And no, there was no one there to be on the end of it either. Gutting way to start the game.
Where does it fall on the Stephen Warnock scale of wind-assisted goals at Huish Park?
I don't think it was that wind-assisted, personally.
Awkward.
Would need to see it again to clarify, but it didn't look very wind-assisted from the factures.
It almost looked like he went to like catch it with the wrong hand and like bring it in one-handed when you look at the highlights back, but he just like slaps it in like a... I think
he was trying to push it over his own bar and just got his positioning all out of whack and thought he was probably closer to his line than it was, tapped it behind him and kind of went, oh, God, goal's there. And yeah, just one of those horror moments. As someone who's done a bit of goalkeeping, we've all had them. We've all been
even there. The greats, Ben, even the greats. Like that.
Yes, exactly.
St. Nicholas, 4th 11, number 1.
Good enough for if it's good enough for Grant Smith, then it's good enough for any of us. We've all been there.
I think Smith's allowed a blooper as well, to be honest.
Oh,
the season he's having, let's be fair to him. I mean, he's pulled off some unbelievable performances over the last couple of weeks. One blooper. We should have gone up the other end and corrected the error earlier than we did. And the first half just followed the same tone. We didn't look like a team who knew each other.
I think he made a good save in the second half, that one when he was the one-on-one. So he more than redeemed himself in that situation, because that would have been game over, I think, at that point.
There's been a few occasions. I saw one up at Stockport. He stays big for so, so long. Strikers, they want their goalkeepers to commit one way or the other and just make their mind up for them. Time and time again, he just stays there and stays there and stays there. We're talking milliseconds, but he keeps himself so big. And that was what we saw in the one-on-one. I remember a couple at Stockport where he did exactly the same with Paddy Madden. Look, bit of a howler, bit of a stinker, but he's more than enough in credit. Elliot, you've probably seen a little bit more of him recently than I have. He's becoming one of our real consistent players, isn't he?
Absolutely. And you're totally right there. He had two things to do all day yesterday, I think, and one of them he fumbled into his own goal, and the other he made an unbelievable save. 9 times out of 10, you're banking on him. One-on-one situations, I don't think I've seen a keeper recently so confident in those situations, and if you compare what we've had over the last couple of seasons, he is a massively influential player, and over the last 4 or 5 games, him and the defence have been so sure. That we don't really look like conceding. And even yesterday, they scored the goal. They had the one-on-one chance. And to be fair, Dan Moss, made an incredible tackle in the first half in a one-on-one situation where I don't know how he's managed to sort of come behind the man, take the ball, then take the man, and get out of a situation that they probably should have scored another from. So the defence, again, didn't really let us down yesterday. We just... couldn't do anything further at the pitch from there.
Going to say, in that first half, I listened to it on the radio. They were talking about the wind, obviously, but then everything seemed to be playing it along in the first half. So many, and I mean, I'm not a professional footballer, but you know, if you kick a ball into the wind, you've no idea where it's going, do you? And when you look at the players that we've got with the likes of Wakefield and Knowles, you know, getting the ball down and letting them run with it seems like a much better logic, doesn't it? I mean, was that the problem, that they were trying to kick a ball into the wind and then hope that it was control?
Yeah, the way I saw the first half definitely was one of those performances like we see England put in so many times where they can't break a team down. Like imagine England playing Moldova, for example, who set up with 11 men behind the ball in their own half, hard to break down, and they're just lumping it up to the big man up top. And that was the shape of the first half, most definitely. The ball would play around the defence and then get launched up and then come back at us. And it was just repeat cycles time after time.
Disappointed Ben didn't get Moldova there. I thought Dover, Moldova, that would have been one for you there, Ben.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's a bit sleepy for me, chariot racing.
Yeah. I know, yeah. Sorry, I've had a long day. Yes, great call there. Do you think that was a deliberate tactic, or do you just thinking it was players not quite being on their game and resorting to plan B, emergency plan tactics? Or do you think we went out there with the idea of they're going to sit 11 men behind the ball, let's just go longer?
I think the early goal probably put the frighteners into us, and we were we were trying to do everything to get up top. Whereas last few weeks, we've been breaking teams down, and we've been getting quite good at it. Like, we've been using the flanks. We've seen Barnett running down the wing. We've seen Knowles and Wakefield picking the ball up and looking really confident. And in the first half, there was none of that yesterday. I wouldn't say that would have been the plan. I mean, Sol was losing his head on the touchline in the first half yesterday. You could see him really quite frustrated by it. And the fans were getting on their back. And the more that was happening, the more that it kept happening. So halftime, we needed halftime so much more than they needed it. For the first time in weeks, we've looked like we would score most games. But in that first half yesterday, we didn't look like we'd get near the goal. Yusuf sort of was non-existent. I've been backing him recently as putting in improved performances. And he was way off the mark, especially in the first half yesterday.
But he scored the equaliser.
No, he did not.
Never take a goal off of a left back in Elliot Watts's world.
Not a left back like Jordan Barnett either. No.
You had a previous left back that was like Jordan Barnett as well, didn't it? Something about you in left backs. You're tough tackling left backs.
He never touched it. I think the highlights will probably show that he never touched it. Barnett's only crossed the ball, to be fair. It's never shot across situation, and I don't think it was a shot. Yusuf didn't get on the end of it, but it did go in. Three or four times in the lead up to that, though, Yusuf had found himself offside time and time again. And I was actually worried that we might see the flag come up on the left hand side when the ball went in.
Wilkinson was there as well, wasn't he? They both looked like they both were trying to claim the goal as well.
Yeah. I was pleased to see Wilco rushing them back to get a move on to get the 3 points, because a point in the grand scheme of things with our form is okay, but wasn't really acceptable against the opposition we had yesterday. I don't know what you guys think about a point against bottom of the league who haven't won at all.
It's not well.
We talked about it on Friday, didn't we? It was almost like we talked it into reality.
Yeah.
We bigged up Smith. We bigged up how we were playing with, you know, the wide players. We bigged up how we start really well and don't give teams a chance to breathe. And instead, we threw the ball in our own net and didn't use the wide players. And it went a bit wrong.
Marcus was talking up out of Yusuf as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
We had done for the last couple of games, as you say, but yeah. Maybe. Is it our fault then?
Could be. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the last time I went at home was the Weymouth game. We had that Woking game in between where I think we did okay. Like you said, going behind so early, do you think that sort of set the tone for the afternoon, and then the supporters who've, you know, not been for a while probably thought they were coming back to see a team that, you know, was totally different from the one that had a bit of a horrible patch the last time we were at home.
You turn up at Huish Park when you're playing bottom of the league and you won. We were unbeaten in six games, is that right?
Yeah.
And you turn up expecting to put three or four past them and really, really announce yourself in the top half of the table. We could have gone 10th yesterday for win. And the fans did expect it, but the fans should expect it when you're playing opposition of that level. So yeah, it set the tone and people getting on their backs, but actually I think the team's tired. There's not much resource there, and I think it really showed yesterday that they're being flogged 90 minutes every 3 to 4 days.
Yeah.
And something's got to give eventually. Something has got to give, and you're not going to put in 6 out of 7s every week. And the trouble is, everyone had a 2 out of 7 yesterday. I mean, Worthington got hooked in the second half, and I'm Worthington's biggest fan, but I thought he didn't put in a good performance whatsoever yesterday. His passes were wayward. He didn't look in the game. He didn't look like he positionally knew where he was. And Worthington's not had a run of games, but every now and again he drops out the side and or picks up a niggle or something like that. Whereas he's probably played 90 minutes in all seven of those games. And it's no real surprise that where there's no squad rotation, you can't just drop a player in and drop a player back out and mix it up a little bit, that players are tired. Wilco after 60 minutes yesterday looked shot.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, he was touch and go for the Bromley game, which he played. Did he play all of the Bromley game? He didn't come off, did he?
Yeah.
And then, you know, another game, and this is one of our players who's, you know, notoriously famous for getting injured, isn't he? And having these problems and having these spells out. So it is a worry, but what, you know, what do you do as a manager? What, can't do anything else, can he?
No, he took Untoff, didn't he? Because he brought Morgan Williams on to freshen that up. And his manager spoke after the game about how he hoped that Worthington and Hunt would be fresher for Tuesday at Wrexham. But like you say, for if they're fresher, there's still another nine of them that aren't, isn't it? Because they've all been playing for such a long time. But yeah, but with the options that we've got, maybe even slightly fewer options now, you know, what else can we do unless there's someone is going to put their hand in their pocket and spend some of this FA Cup money, all this prize money that we've had flooding in? Where's that money getting spent? TV money, where's that getting spent? Come on, where's it getting spent?
Probably about Wrexham yet first.
Probably on wages.
Probably, yeah.
Could be covering the cost of the wages, who knows?
As you said, Kate, we lost Knowles in the second half yesterday. Very late, it was 90 minutes, 5 minutes of additional time came up on the board. Knowles got thrown to the floor by the David lad and subsequently was knocked out unconscious, quite clearly in front of the Thatchers. And may I say, whilst I don't think the ref had a bad game yesterday, his urgency to get the medical staff on the pitch was disgrace when the player was quite clearly unconscious. And that Wilco and Staunton had to go over and check that he was okay. And the ref was dilly-dallying around bringing the medical staff on when you had a player out cold on the floor. It was pretty bad. Because he clearly wasn't time-wasting when it was 1-0 when we were pushing for a winner and we had a corner. It looked fairly obvious red card. I'd need to see it back to say that for certain. But that's another position gone as well, because I don't think he'll be able to play on Tuesday night.
Go on then, Dr. Barrett. When's he allowed to come back?
He's City editor and health editor.
Exactly. Ben Barrett, PhD.
You're to be mean already, aren't you? Right. We think collectively it's going to be 19 days. There are two returns to playing when you've had a concussion. One of them is 6 days, one of them is 19 days. The six-day one relies on a number of circumstances being met, including pre-injury neurological testing, a dedicated neurological scientist, no, doctor, available on hand at all times that the player is active, so training or with the team or whatever it may be, and only if he then passes a certain number of tests throughout the 6 days can he return a week later. Or you have to give a minimum of 14 days complete rest, so no training, no nothing for 14 days, and then build up over the next 5 days, passing the same set of tests that the six-day person can have, and then come back on day 19. So I think if we have, I mean, there are a load more scenarios and circumstances that need to be met. If we can meet them and have met them and have the availability to have neurological doctors on hand at Huish Park over the course of the next week, he could be back within 6 days. If not, it's likely going to be the return to playing pathway that takes 19 days, which I think is only three potential games missed: Wrexham and the FA Cup, and then one more.
Barnet, isn't it? Barnet in the league.
FA Trophy thing?
Yeah, there's Barnet in the league on the 11th, and then the FA Trophy's the 18th, isn't it? So if he was back, he'd be back the Wednesday before that FA Trophy game, I think.
Okay, so it's likely to be the FA Trophy that we'll likely be able to see him in, assuming he passes all the tests. If he fails any of the tests, you then push back 24 hours, 48 hours each time he fails a test along the route. So 19 days would be a minimum. That's what the FA guidelines say.
Don't fall in love with footballers.
Nope.
You go and get concussed and break your heart.
He did look dazed when he got back up. He was leaning over the advertising boards next to the screw fix, and he did look dazed. He did look like he'd taken a knock, and as you know, I'm a boxer. He looked like he'd taken a punch and was on unsteady legs. And I wouldn't be, as much as we need him, and he's become one of our most influential players, and he's finding some incredible form at the moment. I wouldn't be delighted to see him back in the side until we know that any concussion is gone, because that's a real concern.
It's such a frustrating one, isn't it? Because he was, like you said, starting to hit form after not really having a great start to the season. And then for it to happen in such a, like annoying way, like a coming together and should have been a red card and all this type of stuff, it's just really frustrating. And when you've only got 14 or 15 fit players, like, it's the last thing we needed is one of our main creative outlets to be out ahead of Wrexham as well.
He looked like he was injured already beforehand. He was limping up and down the wing.
He always looks like that, though. He always looks injured. He limps around everywhere. I remember at Solihull, he got kicked to high heaven, and I was thinking he's going to get taken off. And he never did. He ended up shithousing them off for a red card. It was brilliant. But they absolutely battered the crap out of him. He just gets booted all ends everywhere. I don't read too much into his limping, because I think he's always limping.
Good shout. I'll have to watch next time I see him. he was limping very gingerly for a player who was chasing a win.
Yeah. Well, he's a midfield player. You've got to be ginger in the Yeovil midfield, I'm afraid.
That's how they made up the 66%.
Exactly.
Such a walk gingerly.
Can I say, I'm just pleased that we've now got a concussion editor as well. As Elliot said to me last night, I've knocked a few people out in my time. Good job you said you were a boxer there. Otherwise, people would just think we brought you on to, you know, talk about knocking people out. But
I'm not the concussion editor, though. We'll leave that to Ben.
He's the medical expert. He knows what it's all about. Okay. So who do we have left at against Wrexham, then? Can we move on to Wrexham now? Done concussion.
I think I've probably covered the Dover situation, to be honest. It wasn't a pretty game.
No.
The highlight was definitely a 6 out of 7 Bovril, just because it was so cold. And we'll file it in one of those poor days at Hewish Park where the weather wasn't kind. The players didn't look like they played in wind before. Everyone was a bit tired. And we scraped the point out of it. Like, let's face it, we kept the unbeaten run going and we can move on. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't good. It wasn't what we expected, but we got a point out of it. And I think we'd have snapped people's hands off for it in that sort of middle part of the early season when we were struggling.
I think if you'd have offered me 7 points out of these three, and it was 3 points at Dover, 1 point at Bromley, 3 points at Dagenham, I'd have been all over it. And yet here we are, 3-3-1 as opposed to 3-1-3, and we're feeling a bit iffy. But actually, do you know what? This is a cracking 7 points. You take those two wins. Those two wins are huge. We've got a thing about Hewish Park at the moment. I don't quite understand what's going on, why we can't seem to get going at Hewish Park at the moment. That Woking game was good, but we didn't really have to be very good on that occasion. Woking were pretty shoddy. So, yeah, maybe that's something to look into. Maybe we need to not play at Hewish Park anymore.
Can we go back to Dorchester?
Might have to, yeah.
We were great at Hewish Day, the last game as well. We were really good that day. So, I don't know. I think we've just been in a great run of form and we've got a tired team. And as we're going to move on to Wrexham now, we're going to see quite how tired this team's going to be by Tuesday night. Yeah.
So I counted up, we've got 14 players. Is that right? Because there's no Stephen. Well, so who are we missing? We've got the two goalkeepers, so only one of them's going to play, isn't it? So that's one of them on the bench, isn't it? Can we put two people in goal?
Good with his feet.
Yeah. Portuguese side yesterday had a big bout of COVID, had to go play Benfica, and they stuck a goalkeeper in midfield because they had no other players. Doable. Yeah, there you go. Okay. They lost 7-0, but it's fine.
Yeah.
That's a great bit of stats there.
They had to, they actually fielded 9 players. They only started with 9. It's all they could scrabble together. And they included a goalkeeper in midfield. And then 2 of them got injured late in the second half. So the game was abandoned at 7-0.
Can I just ask that no one tells Scott Priestnell that another team played the goalkeeper in midfield?
Do you think you can start a game with 9 players, Scott?
Don't pretend he doesn't already know. He's on to it.
I don't think he's competent enough to know any rules.
It's gone there.
Jesus, hello. Hello. Now we're off and running.
Bye.
But yeah, who's going to play? I think we'll usual back four, you'd have thought, providing Wilco doesn't need patching up. I think it's probably just going to be Bradley in for Knowles.
Is it? Or are we going to stick with the same tactics? Are we going
to... Sadie?
Well, I was thinking maybe we go 3 centre-backs. Oh, you bring Williams in and then play your wing-backs.
I was crying out for that yesterday. Yeah, I was crying out for that yesterday. Could have changed the game.
I think we're so used to a back four that if we suddenly switch to a back three and change the entire like structure of the team, that could be disastrous. I mean, it depends. If we're going into Wrexham thinking this is a no-lose situation... Then
it is.
Does a back three turn into a back five at Wrexham though?
So what if it does? If you've got a few attacking players, so what if it does soak up a bit of pressure?
He finished with 3 at the back, didn't he? Yeah, on yesterday.
Yeah, did he push Staunton towards the back?
That's what they were saying on the commentary anyway.
Yeah, there was people all over the place by the 90th yesterday. We had 10 men on the pitch because Knowles had to go off and we had no subs left.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think that we could have used a concussion sub, but did we only have 4 on the bench or did we have 5 on the bench yesterday?
No, we had 5. I don't think the concussion subs come in at this level, unfortunately.
They not?
No. EFL and Premier League only, I think.
Concussion expert has spoken again.
Yeah, Christian Perslow says we've given him enough. I think the base of our defence has been so good with a back four and that Gorman and Staunton sort of protecting. I think if you do anything different, if you change those partnerships, which are so strong, just feels to me like that's a recipe for disaster. Even if they are, tired, I think to suddenly throw Morgan Williams in with Hunt and Wilkinson, who've got a good partnership... Just, I think you might lose a bit of that strength, that solidity.
I think we could do with not getting absolutely pumped there. Mm. And if we're changing formation around and trying things that we haven't tried out, it could turn into one of those moments where they don't look like they know each other.
Yeah.
And we could do without sort of losing 4 or 5-0. I think we're not expecting to go there on a Tuesday night and come away with a win. If we come away with a win, that is an amazing 3 points. I'm looking at Ben and Ben thinking, we're going there expecting the win. But when we've got 14 players, if we go there and take 3 points, that's incredible. If you take a point, that's fantastic as well. You don't go there with too much anticipation at Wrexham on a Tuesday night at the moment. What we could do, if we're going to lose, keep it to 1 or 2-0.
He didn't go to Bromley with any expectation to do anything last Tuesday night either, did we?
Or Dagenham. Or Stockport.
Well, we thought we might nick something at Dagenham.
All right. Okay.
I think Bradley in for Knowles, maybe put Wakefield the other side. He's only talked about using Bradley in wide.
So Bradley is part of a front three?
Well, or a midfield five. However, if we haven't got the ball, it's going to be...
I'd go with Sonny and roll the dice.
Keep Sonny in?
No, so your midfield three stays the same. You've got Phil and Grant and Matty Worthington.
Then you've got your
front three. I'm Sonny on.
I'm still in Gorman suspended mode.
No. So normal three in the middle. I then roll the dice on Sonny. Get out of early doors. Okay, it's stats time, kids. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Everyone's in of the same frame of mind that we're pretty naff at home and have been recently. We've got 12 points at home. We've scored 8 goals. That's pretty naff. Pretty naff. Wrexham have 13 points at home and have scored 7 goals all season at home. They've only won three games at home. We've only won three games at home. So they're not feeling great on their own patch either. I'm not going into this feeling like we're going to go and smash them and do what we did to Stockport. But there's absolutely no reason to say we can't go there and get something. There's no reason we can't get at them early and make them really go for it and make them feel under pressure, because we can do that. We have done that. And if we end up going 1-0 up early doors, and then unlike at Dagenham and Bromley, they get an equaliser, heck, they go on and win the game. I don't really mind too much. I say we go out there and we give them hell for the first half hour. Give them absolute hell and just try and shock them, because defensively, clearly, they're not amazing at home. Don't get me wrong. Away from home, they've scored 7 goals at home. Away from home, they've scored 26. It's staggering. But at home, there's questions to be answered there at Wrexham. Why not? Sod it. 7 points out of them 3. This is a bit of a freebie. Anything we get out of this is great. I say you stick Sonny on and you roll the dice and say, stuff it. Have a crack at them. If it doesn't work, so what?
They did score 5 away at Aldershot and 6 away at King's Lynn, didn't they, Wrexham? But I was talking to a Wrexham podcast this week, and they were saying to me that at home, they have a lot of players that look like they were feeling the pressure of playing in front of, well, say big crowds, 8,000, I think they get in, which is big for this level, isn't it? Yeah, and they were saying that there was definite weight of anticipation on a lot of the players. So as you say, if you can, you know, get ahead early in the game, as we have been doing recently, or you can stop them from playing for a bit. You could see the you know, the crowd getting on the players' backs. They also have a couple of players who look like they might be out through injury in defensive positions as well. I think it's Harry Lennon, who plays at the back for them, and Aaron Hayden, who was one of their big money signings in the summer. Both look like they could be out for for our trip on Tuesday. So defensively, they might have a few people coming in who aren't quite as experienced as well. So there could be opportunities for us there. But I'd say, I can't remember. Every time I try and remember how many points I said we were going to get out of these 4 games, I get it wrong. So I won't say it again. But well, Ben will pull me up on getting it wrong anyway. But
I think we're in credit.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're well in credit, aren't we? So this is a free hit, isn't it? I'll drive down to Wrexham, but I'm not going there with any great expectation of us getting anything. So, yeah, go for it. Why not?
It seems a lot of these Tuesday night games that Wrexham play as well, they get a lot of draws and they go behind in a lot of them. They rely on Mullen to sort out week in, week out, clear up the mess. And Ben's losing confidence, as Ben always does, but he is right. They're in fairly similar form to us. I'm not sure actually in form, but they're in and around us in the league table. They're not flying high like everyone sort of anticipated and expected. There's a lot of names in that side, but I think their results haven't sort of proven their team. There's nothing to say that we can't go there and get something.
I think yesterday they were playing against 10 men as well, and it took them a bit of time to get that second goal.
So, and they couldn't break down Willesden at home, 0-0. They couldn't beat Torquay at home, and who knows what's going on down there at Torquay this season. They went 1-0 up early doors, and then Lemon Hay Evans scored late on for Torquay, so they couldn't see them off. They only scraped past Marine at home in the FA Cup. It's 2-0, but again, they had to fight for it. Draw against Chesterfield, draw against Notts County, scraping past Woking and Dagenham at home. I mean, they're not blowing anybody out of the water. They've only scored more than 2 once this season on their home patch, and that was on the first day. No, that was last season. That was on the last day of last season. I can't even count. Brilliant. Yeah. So they've not even scored more than 2 at home all season, which for a defensively solid unit, who have been very good at keeping key players quiet all season, we should be rubbing our hands at that.
Yeah. But then, like you say, they are top of the form table for the last 6 games, but that is largely based on their away performances. Yeah, I think their home form is puts them bang in the middle of the division. I mean, we're 3rd in the form table, aren't we?
Yeah, over the last 6
games.
Yeah.
Over the last 6 games.
So which of Adi Youssef's hat-trick is going to be your favourite one? The fourth one. He's going to score 4, is he? Okay.
A 4-goal hat-trick, yeah. And then he's just going to go to sleep. He's going to hibernate.
He's going to sleep till the FA Cup.
Yeah. Going to release his inner squirrel. and just sleep until New Year. They hate him. They hate him, don't they, at Wrexham? Because the guy on the Wrexham podcast was saying about this story about how he got off the bus on the way to an Eastleigh game on transfer deadline day this January because Chesterfield were in for him. And apparently he asked to stop at one service station and they wouldn't let him off. And then at the next service station, he said, you know, I'm just getting off. I don't know which service stations these were, but, you know, if it was Gloucester services, then you could probably forgive him, couldn't you? Because they do a very good bacon sandwich in there. Although I'm not sure whether he likes bacon sandwich, he might do.
Isn't Gloucester the vegan one?
No, you can get it, but it's a farm shop one, isn't it, in Gloucester? Yeah, do you have a vegan service station? Is this a thing?
I don't know. It's all very... I thought it was all a bit veggie there.
All a bit veggie. Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's a pig on the outside of it.
So. Yeah, but he's alive, mate, so it doesn't make any difference.
Well, no, he doesn't move much for a live pig.
It's not a nice thing to say about Ali Youssef.
No. Talking about services, Ben.
I like Ali Youssef. I've decided I like him now. So,
right.
He's going to keep Ruben Reid out of the team, so he's not good with me.
Who knows? Ruben Reid might be back. They might have him back.
He might have to be. Might have to be on the bench, because otherwise it's going to be the four again, isn't it? It's going to be Bradley, Williams, Hayes and Evans.
Taking your boots, Ben?
Well, I told you I was
another
going.
Another goalkeeper.
I told you I was going, but I didn't tell you why.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone's finally heard about those 43 goals for Coombe St. Nicholas Four.
I think.
Hang on a minute. You're a goalkeeper or you're 42 goals?
Both. We've had this conversation, Dave. We've had this conversation. I was both.
Yeah.
I reckon BBC would pay you more for commentary than you'd get out of.
Probably right. Yeah.
You'd have to pay them subs, like, yeah. And you had to pay those £2.50s. Yeah. When you're younger, that's what you'd have to do for it.
Yeah. Fiverr, cover the ref.
Yeah.
Does it mean I've got to put the nets out and bring the flags back in?
Yeah, you've got to get the corner flags as well. You don't get anything for that money you're paying.
Yeah. You'll have to sit on someone's shoulders for the nets as well.
I would definitely, yeah.
Oh, Sunday League.
Someone stood on a bin underneath the net, wobbling, people falling off it. So dangerous. Ridiculous, really, isn't it?
Stop it. You are giving Scott ideas now at this point. You're going to see Luke Wilkinson and Josh Staunton. They're not just carrying bottles of water in. They're carrying the nets in with them and the corner flags now.
I'm looking forward to next week when they're clapping the fans at the end in the LA, 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 and Wilco's just grabbing the nets at the same time.
While we're here.
Fucking hell, Darren, we didn't have to do this at Stevenage.
They've got a new manager, haven't they, Stevenage?
Yeah.
Down.
Where are they now?
He was at the ground. Yeah. He watched the game, didn't he? Did a bit of pre-announcement scouting at Hewish Park.
Did he?
He did. He was in the in one of the director's boxes, apparently, as a guest.
Right. Which director? There's only two.
That one.
I'm sure there was more room in ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Or was there?
I don't know.
Yes, there was.
Or was there? Da, 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 da. That director's box did look very busy at Hewish Park yesterday.
Did it?
Yeah, I couldn't see properly because I had my scarf in my face and my glasses had steamed up. I was trying to squint to look. But it did look busy across there.
See if you, yeah. You didn't see Abramovich, no?
I'm not dropping names, no. Okay. I've not got any clever cast, like, early news to drop today.
Breaking news. The attendance was a bit low again, wasn't it?
Sorry.
Well, this is what I was just thinking about, what Ben was saying about Wrexham and their home form. You look at Yeovil and they're playing in front of 2,000, effectively. We had 1,600 one night at Hewish Park and it has looked very empty some weeks. You look at Wrexham and the pressure's going to be on when they're playing in front of 8,000 every week. These are National League players. Whether they're actually that standard or not, they're playing in National League. A lot of these players don't expect to be turning up and playing in front of 8,000 crowds on a weekly basis. It's going to get in their heads. it really is going to get in their heads. At Kewish Park, we only just had that for the playoff semi-final. Our championship season, we averaged that. I think it was probably lower than that even. In front of 8,000 in the conference. I mean, I'm not surprised whatsoever they've only scored 7 goals. I think their fans back them pretty well as well, to be fair. I don't think they get on their backs from what I've seen, but maybe that is another reason why we might just go there and nick a smash and grab 1-0 win where they can't break us down. Their fans are getting a little bit restless. They're like, oh, we're back here again. It is every week is a playoff type game for them. It's crazy.
And you think they haven't even got one of the ends is not got anyone in it either at the moment as well.
They had to take off the covers off of it yesterday because they were worried they're going to get caught up in this wind and fly away.
The TikTok banner.
Yeah, exactly, the TikTok banner. Well, maybe they've got a few Hollywood fans now. Maybe they've got a few people that have come in that haven't watched lower league football before. So maybe they will get a bit on their backs because they're not playing like Manchester City or somebody like that.
And I bet it's frustrating for the players as well. Yeah. I'm not sure what kind of crowds Cambridge got at the top end of the League Two last year, but was Paul Mullin playing in front of 8,000 who were expecting not just to win each game, but to walk this league, by the way? What was Ben Toza in front of at Cheltenham? I mean, he's been a little bit higher. He would be used to playing in front of bigger crowds and stuff. Obviously, he had his time at Newcastle and whatever. But this is not just a crowd that's in big in number. It's big in expectation. They should be walking this league. They should be over. They should have booked the open top bus. Should be done. But
you're not giving your booking?
No, God, we still need it. So I think they're there to be had a go at early. Quality may prevail through, as it did against Bromley, as it did in a couple of other games when they did manage to get 3 points against Dagenham and Redbridge. Good teams. And if it does, so what? So what? I say we go there and we try and just have a right crack at them because, like you say, go 1-0 up early doors, as we have done time and time again, and then hold on for dear life.
Going back to Ian's point, though, it was a shame to see only 2,000 out for a team in form as we are. I think that says everything you need to know. I know it's a windy, cold day. It'd be really interesting to see what the crowd is next week at the Stevenage game, especially with it being late kickoff on TV.
Can I say, however, though, that credit to the 21 people who travel from Dover, because if you were in the form that they were in, and you—I mean, Dover's a long way from everywhere, isn't it? But to travel to Yeovil after what were they? They haven't won all season, have they? And they've got three league points and one draw in against Yates in the FA Cup. I mean, yeah, for 21 people to do that to themselves. But they got a point, didn't they? So, they probably deserve it. But credit to the 21 who made up the 2,062, I think it was in the end.
Yeah. It means they're now just 16 points off King's Lynn and then a further 6 off of Southend and 7 off of Weymouth and Survival.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Credit to them. That's a staggering effort.
I'm just looking at our attendances because we've got that page on the website.
Oh, plug.
About the high attendances, and like the top 10 are Leeds United, Liverpool, Manchester United twice, Bristol City, Bristol Rovers, Queen's Park Rangers in the Championship, which was 9,000, Forest, Bristol City, Forest in the semi-final. Then at number 11 it is Rushden and Diamonds in 2001, when there was 8,868 went to watch that game.
You're saying these are all big away followings that have boosted all this. Are you slagging off Dover for not bringing more than 21?
No, I'm just talking about pressure and playing in front of a crowd.
Was that Rushden game one where we absolutely pumped them?
No.
0-0.
Yeah, I think, was that when the first game with a roof on the...
Yeah, I think it was. It was the season we missed. They went up and we didn't go up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was that season towards the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the others are sort of end of season. Lincoln when we won the league. A good crowd for Colchester in 06. Was that?
That was the FA Cup game?
No, it was 6th of May, 2006.
Oh, well, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, 2006, 6th of May. Sticks in my mind.
It's got to be an end of season game, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking. It's not. What year was the playoffs? Seven?
Yeah,
seven.
Yeah, so maybe it was well done for staying up, Tomo. Like, it would have been the end of Tomo before Slade came in, wouldn't it? So.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
Yeah.
To put into context, look how big all those games are for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like record attendances, like you said, Bristol City, Rovers, Derbies, or playoff games, or FA Cup games, and Wrexham pulling that in every week.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, those, yeah, close games and Premier League teams. So, yeah.
On the subject of Wrexham, though, we did ask their questions and then we only got a couple, but we did get one from Jude Horsball, who we kind of answered this, the first part of this question. But he says, how do we pitch this game, the Wrexham game, considering the FA Cup looms? Do we rest anyone or keep it business as usual? Well, Ben's answered the question already, hasn't he? Because he's going for a 10-0 win against Wrexham. But would anybody else rest any players with the FA Cup game coming up? Would you?
How could we possibly rest any
players? I was going to say, who have you got?
We don't possibly have players who could be rested. Yeah.
We could rest Grant Smith, but what's the point?
I would put Ollie Aist in for one of the ginger lads.
As long as one of the others walks gingerly.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 We'll put Ollie Aist in a ginger wig on the page. Have you looked at the website? Are the pictures of of Gorman and Worthington next to each other? They are actually the same person. They're literally the same person. I swear. It's
Sam's just taken one photo and just
yeah, exactly. Yeah. One's got a slightly more. About.
Do you think, you know, looking at Stevens going out on loan, is that looking like a mistake? I don't know. Like, I mean, he wasn't getting game time. Was he ever going to get game time anyway? But, you know, if you think this game's a gimme, it's a good chance to have him out there and rest anyone.
I think it's a strange one to cup time.
Yeah.
I think the timing of it's a bit odd. I think maybe he could have gone on loan now and you know, after they've had their or whatever it may be. And
especially because they got
knocked
out as well.
Yeah. That was a strange one. The Hemel manager afterwards said that he was low on players because a couple of others that he had on loan weren't given permission to play. Wealdstone didn't want one of their guys cup tied. And we obviously gave permission for Toby Stevens to play. So I'm a little bit surprised at that. My thought on the Wrexham game would be, I hope we use three subs, even if it is Ollie Aist, who is the third sub. Because if the game is done one way or the other, if we've won it and we are 11-0 up, or if we've lost the game, like, make the subs, do try and give people moments of rest, because you have no choice but to try and do that, even if it is 20 minutes of just chilling out with your legs in ice and whatever else it needs to be. I think it's going to be quite important to try and do that with that FA Cup game that potentially means so much on the other side of it. So I don't think I agree with you guys. There's not a lot of you can do in rest and rotation unless Bradley comes in for somebody. But I hope we use all three subs, even if that means giving the young lad a bit of a run.
I actually would be surprised to see Williams come on early for Wilkinson.
We'll start the game, maybe.
Or maybe start the game. I mean, we played a 4G pitch, hadn't we, on Tuesday night, which we know Wilkinson, his body despises a 4G pitch. I was quite surprised they played him, but it sounds like it was a perfect decision in the end, coming away with 3 points there. But maybe that had an impact on yesterday. Maybe we could do just giving him that rest again.
Well, then are you saying that maybe we go Williams and Hunt and have Wilco there in case it's 1-0 to us and we need to shore things up, and you turn around and you got Luke Wilkinson there and you go, this is handy, actually. Go out and give me half an hour of just chucking your head in the way of everything.
Absolutely. And that's no slight on Wilco whatsoever, because he's a fantastic player, but we need him. Our performances with Wilco in the side are a class above our performances without Wilco in the side, but we need those consistently for the next 10 weeks, not the next 2 weeks where he picks up another knock and we lose him for another 6 weeks. We need him to be rested, recovered, and not just thriving on cortisol injections and getting by every week.
I think the other thing that surprises me is that we've still got those two loan spots that, for whatever reason, we haven't filled. And I just think, you know, why is that? Obviously, we had the two guys from Exeter who would probably be pretty handy right now. We've lost Dion Pereira as well, who I think would have looked to me like he was had something about him. Just think, why? Where are these? You know, two spots. Normally, we could have seven, and we'd be struggling to put them all on in the squad.
We had seven, did we not? We did have seven at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had too many.
We've only got three.
Yeah. And you don't want to rely on it, but at a point where obviously we're obviously not spending money, we're obviously not going to sign anyone permanently or bring anyone in. So we need to lean on those relationships with other clubs. Have Luton got any other players that can come down? Like,
I think it was said, wasn't it, that we were basically not paying for any of these loans.
No,
so you know, is anyone giving out free loans? It's not just is anyone giving out loans. Is anyone giving out free ones? And they're few and far between. And there has been, you know, mutterings of discontent. There was a word, wasn't there, from the Exeter manager about the which the one that wasn't playing. What was his name?
Dyer
didn't play. There was a little muttering. Dion Pereira went back with a bit of a cloud over him. So there's just mutterings. I do wonder, you know, are we not necessarily paying the price for it? That's ridiculous. But there was a conversation the other day. There was a sort of a throwaway line from Sal saying he was in talks with a championship side about a player, but clearly nothing's come through to fruition there. I don't think we're in the position to say, yeah, we'll pay 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% of someone's wages for a couple of months.
It's a catch 22, isn't it? Because clubs want to send their players to a club who know that they're going to be looked after, but they're going to send players who are going to get, you know, chances are they're going to get run into the ground for Saturday, Tuesday, and really have to like work very hard. And is that a reason, you know, that might be a reason for some clubs to think, I'd rather you spend a, you know, another month in the under 23s than go there just now, because it won't be good for your development playing that much. I don't know. It's I don't know.
And I know that Nathan Jones said, oh, it hadn't broken the relationship between Luton and Yeovil, but the reality is it probably could. We had a player who played one game and he went straight back. And you are going to think twice about sending another player back there. Sonny Blue's not starting every week either. He's on the bench. Getting 20 minutes here and there. And we need a striker. Most importantly, we need a striker.
Even more so now, at least when Quigley was fit, at least you had that option of Quigley or Youssef. And now it's like, it's just Youssef on his own, and that's not going to, you know,
ever. You can't turn to anyone, can you? You can't turn to anyone and say, actually, Youssef, like, you haven't been performing for the last 5 games, you haven't got a goal, etc. I'm going to take you out the side and put such and such in. There's no one to turn to.
But we're still going to win at Wrexham.
Is it time for Benjani Jr.? That's all I'm saying. Just throwing it out there.
He scored again, and Joshua John got a hat-trick for the under-18s at the weekend.
Get him in.
There you go. When Benjani scores, Ben will belt out the press box at the race course, and he'll be on. Quicker than a Parisian chariot racer, he'll be there. I'll put that in context for everyone else.
Don't do it. Leave it. Let them fester on that.
Oh, they're going to wonder now, aren't they?
No, they're not.
They're going to be Googling Parisian chariot racing or something now.
We have got one more question. Can I finish with this question from Matt Crivelli?
Yeah.
So Matt Crivelli asks, and I will give a little bit of explanation to this one afterwards. He says, what's the best/worst graffiti you've ever seen at a football ground? Now, the reason that Matt is asking this was he was at Hewish Park on the weekend, and he pointed out, well, his wife pointed out, because this is about the ladies' toilet facility. So Matt wasn't in the ladies' toilet facilities, I hasten to add. But he said, if anyone thinks Hewish Park isn't in need of an update, my wife informed me during today's game that there's graffiti in the ladies' toilets in the Thatcher's Terrace that reads, I love Gary Johnson, Wheelie is fit. And I'm also told there's some indication as to the attractiveness of Chris Cohen. Now, I'm not saying any of you will have seen any of this graffiti, because none of us have been in the ladies' toilets, Jewish part. But what would be your best/worst graffiti you've ever seen at a game?
I mean, that's a wide question.
That's a hard question, because I just don't think I would notice.
You wouldn't notice any graffiti. Well, I saw this one earlier, so I did have a little more time to think about it, and I did post a picture back to Matt. And I think this was a game that I was at you with, Ben, one of the Hartlepool games we saw, and there was just
Morrison's.
We did buy chickens from Morrison, and we walked past two very random pieces of graffiti. There was one that just said, "I was here," but here spelled H-E-A-R. And then the other one, and I've put this on Twitter, just says, and I quote, "Odd sock spark plug." What does that even mean? if anybody knows why anyone would spray paint "odd sock spark plug" on what looks like it could be a burger van or something, a burger, bar, maybe. Answer a postcard. If anyone's listening in Hartlepool, let me know.
Well, Cates, as you'll know, I won't have been spotting the graffiti at Hartlepool matches from my past.
No. You would have seen it, but it would have been in about three of the same, wouldn't it? Yeah. Having been intoxicated at a certain game.
I do remember at Crawley, they have an underpass on the way to the ground, and that's very graffitied. Yeah. That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, but there's nothing that stands out from that graffiti.
No.
All right. Okay. Right. Matt, we're going to have to come back to you on this one.
I don't have rubbish ones, but I have good ones. In Leeds, there is a local artist, graffiti artist called the Burley Banksy, He paints on all of the Virgin Media boxes, loads of Leeds United things.
I've seen about this.
Yeah, and he goes completely around the town and does loads of them. And there is a Luke Ayling one. There's one on the wall, not far from, probably about a mile from Elland Road. And it says something like, when Luke Ayling scored that wonder goal for Leeds. But there's like a big thing on a wall. If I can find a picture of it, I will send it to Dave, our social media editor, to put on the social media.
Or reply to Matt's post, Matt's question on the Glovers cast. Reply to that. And then Matt can see it in all its glory.
Yes, ball break. So it's commentary lines, I think. I will download the picture, and I will send it to that thread, and it will make sense when everyone listens.
There was a similar one in Preston, a Paul Huntingdon. They have a Yeovil Town link, and it referred to him as the Cumbrian Cannavaro.
Accurate.
There you go.
Great player.
Yeah. Not playing for Preston. Let's get him in.
Is he not?
No, not playing, no.
How old is he now?
Don't know, mid-30s, something like that, 34.
Has he played 250 games there? He must have played that many.
I don't know how quickly you think I can type on my phone, but probably around about that.
He could volley a ball from played any height.
261 games he's played for Preston North End, and he's 34 years old.
Stick him up top.
Yeah. Let's get him in.
I'll always thank him for that 2-2 at Sheff Wednesday.
Yeah.
Bonkers game. Absolutely incredible. Ended up with a back five, I think. I think Andy Williams was right back. He was centre back. Adam Virgo came on, got sent off. Max Aymer was in there. Andy Welsh was left back. We had about 19 defenders on the pitch at that point. Yeah, that was class, that.
What, 19 defenders out of 9 men?
Correct.
Yeah. But he hasn't played a single game for Preston this season, Paul Huntingdon. I'll go down tomorrow. I'll have a word.
I'll pick him up. Bring him down to Wrexham.
Yeah, I will.
I don't think he's going to run off Youssef in the same way that James Hayter type striker would. But
Paul Huntingdon, no.
On that point, what's James Hayter up to?
I think we should just phone up Jamie Curran, if I'm honest.
I wouldn't turn him down. He's still bagging that fella, isn't he? He's about 50, he's still bagging.
Chris Dagnan will be back next week.
Yeah,
isn't he banging them in for whatever they were called,
for Dicko's boys?
Yeah,
he is banging them in for Dicko's boys.
There you go. What's he knows? He's got a season ticket.
It's appealing. Believe me. Just on the note of players picking things out of thin air, like Paul Huntingdon could. Jordan Barnett's first touch is incredible. That is one positive that I took out of yesterday's game. When the ball is coming to him, I think Nathan James used to have a good first touch from memory. Just going back away now, though. taken a few punches in that time. But Jordan Barnett's first touch, she can pick anything out and control it. Amazing.
It's just your last Jordan Barnett appreciation comment, was it, before we finished?
I was trying to pick a positive out from yesterday. Oh, if it wasn't the bother at halftime, it was Jordan Barnett's first touch.
And that, my friends, is how you be more Barrett.
A positive, a first touch. Right, lads.
Fine.
Do you want to tease the thing that's the thing that the Dave did and the thing that the thing, Ian, or not?
What, the Howard Forrington and Mickey Englow interview?
Oh, dear.
He's broken it.
Wow. Tell us, give us details.
Yeah, Dave.
Lads.
I spoke to Mickey Engwell and Howard Forrington. Mickey Engwell, the captain of the 1995-96-96-97 season. Howard Forrington, as everybody knows, my favourite all-time Yeovil Town player, in what I can only describe as the most fanboy interview I've ever done in my life. And it is going to go live on
Wednesday.
It will be like Ben saying, "Hiya, Gaffer." But it'll be me going, "Oh, hiya, we're not here, all right."
Yeah, tune in on Wednesday to hear Coatsy squeal.
Squeal, exactly, yeah. Going live.
Yeah, the first of our Glovers Past on Glovers Cast.
That was my name, I came up with that.
I'm going to say, I'm hoping I introed that right. I think I did, yeah. I was a bit excited at the time.
Elliot? If I could wave a magic wand and I could interview any former Yeovil Town player on your behalf for Glovers Past on the Glovers Cast, who would it be?
Dicko. I love you, Dicko.
We've had enough Carl Dickinson podcasts and stuff that
he doesn't want to do ours. He's worried we're going to ask.
He's never questions. Officially rejected, has he? No, but he's never replied.
He's read a lot of our requests,
and we've had a lot of Aylin and people like that. I think Cohen. I do think Cohen would be great. We haven't really heard a lot from him since his time here, and he was an unbelievable player and an incredible servant to Forest as well. I think that would be great because he was a local lad, wasn't he? Came through, did amazing things for us, and went on to do amazing things.
Yeah, send some emails, boys, don't we?
We do have another question that we always ask guests that we probably forgot. Oh, yeah. Did we ask Marcus it? I don't know. Marcus has been on before.
Yeah,
I don't know if you asked him. Meal deal of choice, Elliot.
Meal deal of choice: a chicken and stuffing sandwich. Can we do a? Are we talking Christmas meal deals, though?
Ask Ben. Now, as long as there's not cranberry in it, Ben will be all right.
I would have a brie and cranberry sandwich, and I know that is going to offend Ben.
Brie and cranberry sandwich. Ben's just literally fallen off of his chair. Is that the most Tory sandwich you've ever heard in your life? Brie and cranberry?
I'll tell you what a fantastic meal deal there is, and Ben will like this, is if you go to Morrison's, the salad bar is now in the meal deal. You can get a medium salad bar, a drink, and a snack. So the drink is always a cherry Pepsi Max, and the snack is onion bar juice.
I normally go to Samosa for the snack.
Yeah, or samosas. Samosas are very good as well. Good choice.
And the reason for the cherry Pepsi Max is that they're 600ml bottles. They're bigger.
They are. See, Ben, I feel like you really approve of this meal deal choice.
Absolutely correct.
Elliot somehow
he hasn't commented on cranberry
this.
And brie. I
yeah.
Do you just fill your salad up with pasta, though? Or do you get any salad?
Oh, no. Get a bit of salad in there, get a bit of pasta, get a bit of this, get a bit of that. Oh, okay. All the bacon bits you can fit on at the end.
Yeah, bit of cheese as well on top. There's never any green on mine, though. It's literally just pasta or onion bar cheese or cheese.
It's pretty much it's not a salad.
Like, yeah, exactly. Anything but a salad.
It was like my Carvery last week, which had everything bar veg on it. The pre-match nice. Carvery was the future, anyway.
Nice balanced diet there.
Yeah, Dagenham. I can't wait till we go there again. Saturday afternoon, Carvery's the future.
There we go. What a place to leave it on. Yeah. Cheers, lads.
Thank you
very much.
See ya.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Maddon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead. Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.